As you know, during the month of Elul and most of the month of Tishrei until through Hoshana Rabbah, we recite kind of the pinnacle, the climax or the finale of our tefillah every day, twice a day, for most people in Shacharit and Ma'ariv, is L'David Hashem Oriv Yishi. I'm going to read it very quickly and translate it now, and then ask the question, okay? L'David, by David. I'm doing the simplest translation. Hashem Oriv Yishi, God is my light and my salvation. Mimi Ira, from whom should I be afraid? Hashem Ma'oz Chayai, Hashem is the stronghold of my life. Mimi Efchad, from whom should I fear? Bikrov alai mere'im le'echolet b'sari, tzarai v'oivai li, when evildoers who are my enemies and my adversaries come close to me with the intent of eating my flesh, hema kashlu v'nafalu, nothing to worry about. They stumble, they fall. Im tachaneh alai machaneh, if an army camp, gathers against me, lo yira libi, my heart will not be afraid. Im takum alai milchama, if they actually go to war against me, bizot ani boteach, in this I trust. Achat she'alti me'et Hashem ota avakesh, there is one request I have from God, and that is all that I seek. Shivti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai, that I sit in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Lachzot b'noam Hashem ulevaker b'hechalo, to perceive, to see deeply the sweetness of God, and to visit, it's the most classic, to visit in his palace. Ki etzpineni b'suko, because I know that b'yom ra'ah, on a bad day, he will hide me in his sukkah, in his shelter, in his hut. Yes, tireni b'seter ahalo, he will secret me in the secret part of his tent. B'tzur yirom emeni, on a rock mountain, he will lift me. Va'ata, and now because of this confidence, yavrum roshi aloivai, my head will be lifted over my enemy, svivotai, who surrounds me, v'ezbacha ba'ahalo zufei trua, and I will bring sacrifices of victory in God's tent. Ashira va'azamra l'Hashem, and those sacrifices will be accompanied by singing and music. Shma Hashem koli yekra, listen Hashem to my voice as I call out to you. V'chaneni va'aneni, be gracious unto me and answer me. L'cha amar libi, on your behalf my heart says, something impels me from within. Bakshu panai, it's as if you speak, you have inserted a voice in my being, and you speak from within and you say, Bakshu panai, seek my presence, David, et panecha Hashem avakesh, and so I seek your presence. Al tester panecha mimeni, don't hide your face from me. Al tat ba'afavdecha, don't turn your servant away in anger. Ezrati hayita, al ticheni ba'al ta'azveni, you have always been my help. Don't neglect me, don't forsake me. Ki avi v'imi azavuni, because my mother and father have left me, v'Hashem ya'asveni, and I have nobody else. It's only you who can gather me in. Horeini Hashem darkecha, teach me how you operate in this world. Unacheni ba'orach mishor, and lead me on a path, on a straight path, on a righteous path. Leman shorarai, so I can say to my enemies, in your face. Al titneni b'nefesh tzarai, don't give me over to the will of my enemy. Ki kamu b'yedei sheker v'yefechamaz, because God knows I have enough of those. Lulei he'emanti lirot b'tuv Hashem, had I not believed that I was going to see the goodness of God, be'eretz chayim, in the land of life, .. Kaveh el Hashem, hope to Hashem, daven to Hashem, chazak, it will require strength to do that. It's not always easy. V'ya'ameitz libecha, and he will make you stronger when you daven again. V'kaveh el Hashem. Out of 150 mizmorei Tehillim, this is the one selected. Now, there are many, many themes here which we would say are relevant for this time of the year. What are they? What makes this the Mizmor of choice for this time of the year? Right, but why this one? Why this Mizmor? Shema Hashem Koli, Tfila. Shema Hashem Koli Ekra. Bitachon, Boteach, Emuna. What else? Hashem is our Yeshua. Now, what could you answer to all these things? Why does the question still remain a question when you talk about 150 Mizmorei Tehillim to choose from? About 130 of them deal with these topics. Okay? Now, you have here on your source sheet, source one is what I just read. Source two, actually, let's do source three first, because we said it today. We say it during Aseret Yimei Tshuva, right after Yishtabach, before the Birchot Kriyat Shema. Shir HaMa'alot, Mima'akim Kraticha Hashem, from the depths I call out to you, Hashem. Hashem Shim'a B'Koli, listen to my voice. Tiyena Aznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Let your ears pay attention to the sound of my beseeching. Ima vonot tishmor ka Hashem miyamod. Who will withstand it if you will be scrupulous about the sins that we've done? Ki imcha haslicha l'man tivarei. You are the master of slicha, of forgiveness, in order that there should be people alive to fear you. Ki viti Hashem kivta nafshi. I hope to you, I daven to you, my soul davens to you, etc. V'hu yifteh Yisrael mikol avonotav. And ultimately, he will redeem all of Israel from all of their sins. If you were voting on what should be the pinnacle of our davening during Yamim Noraim, I'm not sure that this wouldn't win. Or what about the Mizmor that David composed after he became aware, Natan HaNavi confronted him with the egregiousness of his error with Bathsheba, and he lost some of his Ruach HaKodesh, and he begged for it back. That's number two. L'amnatzeach Mizmor LeDavid b'voi lav Natan HaNavi kasher ba'al Bathsheba, after the incident with Bathsheba. Chaneni Elokim k'chazdecha. According to your kindness, be gracious to me, Hashem. Kirov rachamecha mechet sha'ai. According to your abundant mercy, erase my sins. Herev kapseni me'avonai. Do a lot of cleansing of my sin. Umechatati t'tahareni. And from my sin, purify me. Keep sha'ai ame'eda, because I know well the iniquity I have done. V'chatati negdi tamid, and I will carry that sin before me always. L'cha levadecha chatati, to you alone have I sinned. Go down. T'chat'eni be'ezo ve'etor, take the hyssop leaf that is used in the korban chatas, and purify me. T'chapseni, wash me, cleanse me, u'mishele galbin, that I may be as white as snow. Tashmi'eni sason v'simcha, make me know happiness again and joy. Let these bones that you have crushed with your anger be happy again. Haster panecha mechata'ai. Hide your face from my sins. V'chol avonotai meche. And erase them all. Lev tahor b'rali Elohim. Create for me a new heart, a pure heart. V'ruach nachon chadesh b'kirbi. And a steadfast spirit that will not sin. Al tashlicheni, but whatever you do, al tashlicheni milfanecha, don't cast me away from you. V'ruach kotshecha al tikach mimeni. And because of this sin, it is too much to bear if you take your spirit, your Holy Spirit, away from me. Hashiva li sison yishecha. Return to me the joy of knowing your salvation. Alamda poshim drachecha, and I promise that I will teach other sinners how to do tshuva, v'chata'im elecha yeshuvu, and those who sin will return to you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what we would choose. Obviously, this minhag, which began very surprisingly only a few hundred years ago, And that is part of what my husband calls the siyata d'shmaya of minhagim. Sometimes Hashem gives his imprimatur to a minhag. A minhag takes off. In the 1700s it started, and all of Klal Yisrael does it. It's an amazing thing. It cuts across all sectors. And there must have been a reason for this mizmor. And obviously there's many themes in it. Last year, we concentrated on the comparison, on the underlying current, which is very, very hidden in this mizmor, of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Today I want to do something far more homiletic, maybe more fun. A brainchild of my father, whose brain, Kenan Hara, is only equal to his heart. And in order to do that, we have to set a lot of stepping stones. So I'm going to start with the verse that we're going to focus on this year. Pasuk Gimel, the third verse. Im tachane alai machane. Keep in mind that this mizmar, with all of its beautiful phrases, is about a war that we have to win. And obviously, homiletically, it will be the war against the prosecuting attorney in Shamayim, the Satan. Okay? If he camps against me, lo yirali bi, my heart will not be afraid. In takum alai milchama, if they go in out and out war against me, this Satan, bizot ani boteach, in this I trust, followed by, achat sha'alti me'et Hashem, one thing I request of God, ota avakesh, it is the one thing I seek, that I sit in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, there's a question here. If they camp against me, my heart will not be afraid. If they go to war against me, why don't we have the clear analogy? I will not fear, like we had in the first pasuk. Bizot ani boteach, in this I trust. What would we expect in the next pasuk? What is this thing in which I trust that makes me not afraid? And it could have been almost anything, and we could have knached it. But it's a request. How does one trust in a request? Simply, classically, I think a little bit too simply, we say, well, we mean we trust in that Hashem will answer the request. But that's not what it says. It says, "Bizot ani boteach achat sha'alti." I trust in this one thing I ask. We first go to the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is our pashtun. He is the one who will give us the straightest answer without any fancy footwork. He says two things. That already indicates that this is not easy. If the Ibn Ezra says two things, he's not entirely happy with either one, because it is a difficulty in the pasuk. He says one possibility, bizot ani boteach, and this I trust, he means L'David Hashem Oriv Yeshi. I trust in the theme of this perek, that God is my light and my salvation. The topic sentence doesn't really flow so well. He says, really, it should be in the next pasuk. Bashe'ela hanis keret acharkach. I trust in my request. Not in the fact that my request will be answered. I trust in the purity of my request. I trust, think of, you know, parents and children. When a child comes to you and says, can I have this, that, and the other, or can I go here and there? Okay, you'll consider it. When a child comes to you and says, could we do this because my brother really needs it? That's a whole different kind of request, right? He says, I trust in the purity of my request. I am one among many kings in the world. I've conquered many kings. And usually when kings go to war and battle, it's for land, it's for power, it's for women, it's for money. It's for acquisition of all sorts. Bizot ani boteach, I am about to go to war, and the reason I'm not afraid is because achat sha'alti, God knows that this war is about one thing. To give us the security that I and all those who follow my example will have the peace to sit in your house and delve in your Torah and daven to you. That's all I want. And that's why I'm going to win this war. But again, the two answers indicate that it's not so clear. So we're going to play with this a little bit. This bizot ani boteach, in this I trust. What is this? I was never so good in grammar, so I know that the word this is probably a certain part of speech. I know it's not a noun and it's not a verb, and the other ones get lost for me. It's not exactly an adjective either, unless it's used like this book. But when you say, this is what I want to say, I'm not sure what part of speech that is, but I know very well that in biblical literature, a specific article, that's what it is. Okay, thank you. All right? I know that in biblical literature, the specific article is a contentious word. Let's look at the thing you're more familiar with first. The word zeh. It means the same thing, also a specific article, right? It's just the masculine form of zot. But it is more easily understood because our medrash and our mefarshim have been very clear about the word zeh. Anytime the word zeh appears, obviously not necessarily as an adjective, but when it appears as a specific article, sometimes as an adjective also, but I'm more concerned with the other, it has one purpose, and that is to teach us that God pointed at something, or somebody pointed at something. Because otherwise, we know our Torah has no extras. We learn that when we're very, very little. There are no extra words in Torah. And every time it appears that there are drushas, there are all kinds of homiletic approaches how you can figure out that this is not extra and what it's adding. So if I start a pasuk, for example, Zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah, mikshe zahav ta'aseh oto. This is the work of the menorah. Make it out of a hunk of gold. That's extra. This is not a colloquial conversation. Okay, this is where, how we're going to make the apple pie. First, you're going to do this. You're going to make an apple pie by whatever. Straight to the chase. No extra words. What does that mean? Zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. This is how you're going to make the menorah. You're going to take a hunk of gold. So that's where our chazal tell us that Moshe didn't know how you make a menorah out of one piece of gold. And Hashem had to show him in a vision and pointed to it and said, this is how it's going to look. HaChodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodashim. This month for you is the top of all months. What is the zeh? Her'ehu yarit levana b'chidusha. God showed him a sliver of a moon and said, when it looks like that, that is the new month. Ze yitnu kol ha'over al ha'pikudim. The machatzit ha'shekel. This is what everybody who goes gets counted under the census should give. A half a shekel. Her'ehu matbea shel esh. God showed him a coin of fire. This is one of my earliest memories of Chazal, because I remember my father in shul saying that the reason that the coin was made out of fire was because that's how money is. It can be the most destructive or the most productive force in life. But that's an aside. But zeyitnu, it means it wasn't clear. Her ehu be'etzba, he had to point to it. Then we have one that's a little bit more complicated. And with this, we'll close this segment. Zek he levan vehu. You say it every day in Uz Yashir. This is my God and I will beautify him. I will glorify him. Well, God's not pointing there. And how could we be pointing to God? That's a beautiful medrash, which I believe is the forerunner of the mythological phenomenon that storks pick up babies from cabbage patches. The medrash tells us that in Mitzrayim, the women used to go to the work areas. There were work camps, and between the work areas, there was a little bit of wooded space. And the women used to go there to give birth because the Egyptians were looking for new babies. And they would stay there till the baby cry was over. You know, those first couple of months when it's recognizably a new baby? And the Egyptians got winds of They did their calculations. It didn't make sense. There weren't enough babies to account for all the pregnant women. So they found out that this is what they were doing. So they brought oxen in herds to go through those, what's called the Bein HaShvatayim area, the area between the borders of the work camps, so that they would trample these babies who were lying there. And the Medrash tells us that a miracle happened and the babies were swallowed deep into the ground. And only after the oxen, the herds of oxen disappeared, did they sprout forward, forth like cabbages, and come to the fore again. The Medrash continues that years later, hundreds of years later, when these babies, some of them had passed on already, some of them were adults, some of them were grandfathers, they witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf. They saw the Neid Nozlim, the two pillars of solidified water, and everybody was speechless and everybody was dumbfounded. And these babies, who were now adults, pointed with their finger and they said, Zeke Levan Vehu, this is not miraculous compared to what happened to me. I know this God. This one is my God. The same one who is responsible for my being here today, he could do that too. Okay. And you could go through all the Zez in Torah and you would find that specific article has a drasha in the Chazal. Zot presents the same problem. When the word zot is used as a specific article, it is also extra. And yet Chazal do not say that there is an issue of pointing there. But they do understand that there is a hardship in understanding what's going on, and that something else must be happening besides the flow of the words, which flow very nicely. And if it were a colloquial conversation, it would be fine. This is the bracha for Yehuda. This is the Torah that Moshe gave. But in Torah, it just doesn't cut it. But it's much harder to figure out, and it's much more open to interpretation because they don't come down as clearly. So let's do zot a little bit. From the top of your head, okay? Give me some famous zots in Torah. We obviously are dealing with ksuvim now. Bezot ani boteach. But David HaMelech knew Torah by heart. He was very influenced by Torah. Look at how many tefillah lemoshes there are. 10 prakim like that. Okay? Where in Torah do we have a zot? Zot HaBracha. We're going to read it very soon. We read it already at Mincha. We're going to read it again. And in the Zot HaBracha, 6 psukim later, we have another one. Vizot Lihuda. And this bracha goes to Yehuda. That's a fascinating pasuk. Because every other shevet gets a bracha from Moshe, and it goes like this. Ulruvein amar, v'libinyamin amar, v'lithis one amar, v'lithat one amar. And all of a sudden, Vizot Lihuda. Superfluous if you ever saw it. It begs to be defined. What does that mean? Why is it there? What other zotes do you have? You say every week. Zot HaTorah Sam Moshe Lifnei B'nei Yisrael. This is the Torah. Vizot Ot HaBrit. The Bris Milah as well as the rainbow. There are a lot of zotes. Okay, we'll look at a lot of them. And we'll look at a lot of different interpretations. I want to look now first your source sheets. Turn the page to the second side of the page. Number 7, Devarim Lamed Gimel. Vizot Lihuda. Let's zero in on that. We are now going to sneak in to the sod, to the mystical way, to the Kabbalistic way of looking at this, which is presented by many, but first by the Ramban. Okay, that's his bent. Now, what the Ramban does, let me give you as a preface. He does this about a lot of things, and it's sometimes very, very, in the words of my children, annoying, because when you're trying to teach something and it's not clear, you could spend many, many hours on it. So what the Ramban does, and I spent many hours on this, I looked up all the zotes And in every place, Ramban explains this esoteric thing, sometimes concrete, but it always ends up with an esoteric comment. And then he says, if you look actually, the one source I did not give you in English, because I just decided to include it last night, okay, in the last minute. So I'll translate everything in English, but if you look at your Achrimos page, the second page you have, all the way on the right, there's a little paragraph. Kimilat zot kfar nirmizah baharbeh makomot. The word zot has been hinted at in many places, meaning in the Ramban's parish. Bahapsukim halalu haniskar b'chol achad zot kfar hu mefarash. And in every single place, I have translated what it is. And in each of the places, Ramban gives this beautiful translation, which could stand on its own, and he says, like I explained in all the other places. And in each place, it is vastly different. So you have no idea what he's talking about, just as I explained in all the other places. And what you have to do is find the common thread between all those places. It's not obvious. So let's look now at source 7. Okay? Begins B'zot HaBracha. We'll come back to that. Now let's concentrate on B'zot Lihuda. Ibn Ezra says the easiest thing to do here is to incorporate B'zot Lihuda with the Bracha before. Okay? Reuven gets a Bracha. What is the bracha? Yechi Reuven va'al yamot. Let him live and not die. V'hi mitav miskar. And let his population number a great amount. V'zot Lihuda. Yehuda's going to be the king. He's going to go to war. He needs a bracha like that too. Let this bracha also go to Yehuda. And now I'll give Yehuda his own bracha. Vayomar. Shma Hashem kol Yehuda. Hashem, listen to the voice, to the davening of Yehuda. V'elamot to the yenu. And bring him back to his nation after war. Yadav Rav Lo, let his own hands fight his battles. Ve'ezem Mitzarav Tehiyeh. And if he needs help, let him get it from you and not from anybody else. Okay? So we have a pshat way of looking at it. It adds the bracha from before. But Ramban is not happy with that. So Ramban says, V'zot Liyehuda, Zot, he says, is an entity. It is a thing. It's not just like saying, and this is the bracha Yehuda's getting. Yehuda is getting the gift called Zot. And what is that gift? Says the Ramban. Well, just like I explained in the other places, the gift is Ezer Mitzarav. It's the Shechina going to war with him at his side. Very nice. However, let's look at source number 6, which is the most probably timely of the ones that we'll look at. Bizot Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh. Let's look at the context. After Aharon's sons have died, and he has to get his act together, he gets instructions that only on Yom Kippur can he go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Look at the underlined pasukim. Va'al yavo b'chol eit el hakodesh mibeit laparochet. Let him not come at any old time to the Kodesh Kadashim behind the curtain. Asher al ha'aron v'lo yamut. Because he'll die if he does that. Ki ba'anan eira el hakaporet. Because I'm there. And he can only come once a year. Bizot yavo aron al hakodesh. With this, Aaron will come into the Kodesh HaKadashim, b'par ben bakar lechatat v'ayil le'olah. He will bring two karbanot, a sin offering and a burnt offering, a whole offering. With this, he will come with the par and with the ayil. That's the pshat. That's nice, but it doesn't cut it. Because it should have said, b'par ben bakar uba'ayil yavo Aaron al HaKodesh. That's the simplest way to say it. To introduce it with that specific article. With this he should come. With what? With the par and with the aisle. There's got to be more. There's got to be more than that. One possibility that's suggested by our Rishonim is, well, look at the pasuk before. It said, Va'al yavo b'chol eit el hakodesh. Let him not come any old eight time. Implied here, bizota eight. On this particular time, meaning Yom Kippur, he should come into the Kodesh with a par and an ayah. But that's not clear. That's a drasha, as all of them will be. The Ramban says the following, and here I will ask you to turn to the Ramban, the page without English, just for a minute. Because if you come away with nothing else than this beautiful phrase, it will be worth it. On the fourth line from the top, in the Achremos section of the Ramban, the sod and the secret. Secret means the Kabbalistic insight of Bizot Yavo Aron al HaKodesh, Kisod Zot Otaprit Asher HaKimoti. It's the same as the sign of the rainbow, where it says Zot Otaprit Asher HaKimoti. They're not the same at all, but we'll see. V'kvar Pei Rashtiv, and I've explained it there. V'ravoteinu Ramzubo. And what is the hint that Kabbalistically we get out of this? And he goes on to say, next line, Rab Yudan Psar Kroya. Rab Yudan solved this text of Bizot Yavo Aron al HaKodesh and the superfluousness of the word Zot, B'Kohen Gadol B'Knisato L'Beit Kodshei HaKadashim. That this is what the Kohen Gadol takes into the Kodesh Kodashim. You think he just comes with a par and an ayah? You think we could do whatever we want all year and then he could come with a par and an ayah, we get kapar and the string will turn from red to white? That would be nice, but it's not true. Chavilot, chavilot, shel mitzvot biyado. I think one of the most beautiful phrases. Bundles and bundles of mitzvah in his hands. Which mitzvahs? Every mitzvah which in Torah or in Naf is associated with the word zot. Zot ot habrit, the mitzvah of bris milah. Then Zot HaTorah, the mitzvah of learning Torah. Sorry, the mitzvah of Brit Milah was Zot Briti Asher Tishmoru. Shabbos, there's a well-known pasuk in Yeshaya. It's part of the Pirkei Nechama, where Yeshaya HaNavi says, Ashrei Enoshi Aseh Zot, goes on with a number of things, and it says, Shomer Shabbat Mechalalo. Yerushalayim has a pasuk zot. He lists all the mitzvahs that have psukim in Tanakh that associate them with zot. And he says, these zots are what Aaron and every Kohen Gadol after him come into Beis HaMikdash, into Kodshei Kodshim. They say, I bring this par and I bring this ayah with the chavilot, chavilot, the bundles of mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael has done that are associated with zot. But how does that jive with the Zot LeYehuda, that the Shekhinah goes with him into war? I have worked on this for years, and I will never know if I'm right. But what I think, something my husband and I worked on together, is that what Ramban is saying is that every Zot signifies the presence of Shekhinah in this world. You know, when we keep Shabbos, one of our Zmiros of Shabbos, is Me'ein Olam Haba. Shabbos is a little bit of Shekhinah. It's not just this world. When we make a bris, everybody knows you're not allowed to invite to a bris. Why are you not allowed to invite to a bris? Because you can't refuse. Why can't you refuse? Because Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be there. There is other world. There's a presence of Shekhinah at a bris. Yerushalayim lo zaza Shekhinah me'im koto ha'maravi ad olam. It never moves. Every one of these mitzvahs, some of them are harder to make the case for, but every one of these mitzvahs is the presence of Shekhinah in this world. V'zot liyehuda, the promise is you will have the Shekhinah at your side in battle. So if Ramban is right, and in measure, I'm sure he is, in some measure, what is David saying? If the war of the Satan prepares against me, the camp of the Satan, I won't be afraid. when they actually battle against me, the Satan and his entourage, Bizot ani boteach. I lead a people who have done chavilot, chavilot mitzvot. That is what brings me victory in earthly war and in heavenly war. It's not me. It's the chavilot, chavilot mitzvot b'yadeinu. And that is one approach to go into Yamim Noraim with. But now, I want to, as best as I can, it is not easy to do. I heard this first probably 25 years ago when my father gave a tshuva drasha to a very large group of rabbanim, and I asked if I could come. The reason I asked if I could come is because sometimes, with great love, we have to do our father's dirty work with the looking up the sources. You know, he has an idea, he has a brilliant idea, and then my brother and I used to look up all the sources to make sure that the idea was borne out. Okay, so we were involved, so I wanted to hear the speech. It changed my life. It certainly, the way I look at this parak, the brilliance and the way it can be proven. Now, the disclaimer I'd like to make at the beginning is that not every zot that you look at in your life will fit into this, but I don't think it has to. Because zot is ephemeral a little bit. It means look for something deeper. If it fits most zots, then it's really something to talk about. I want to say also that my father was going to give an entirely different drasha, and a few nights before, that's why we were all scrambling to look things up, this struck him. And he went with it. He was struck by the following. The first source, obviously his mind was on Yom Kippur. And the first source that struck him was Bizot Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. The second source that struck him happened years before in Sefer Bereishis. And on your source sheets, it is... do I have it here? Yeah. Number four. The brothers are going down to buy food in Mitzrayim. And we know that Yosef plays the game. He accuses them of being spies. Vayomar Alehem Yosef. Yosef says to them, the underlined part of number four. Who asher dibarte elechem? What kind of a cockamamie story? Me think thou protesteth too much. What are you telling me? The story with the brothers and the father and who's left it? You're spies for sure. You're talking too much. Who asher dibarte elechem? That's what I said. Lemor miraglim atem. You are for sure spies. Bizot tibachenu. Literally, with this you will be tested. With what? With the coming of your little brother. That's your test. That's the pshat. If zot means something, then it has to mean it here too. This was the second source that piqued my father's curiosity. The masmer, as he would call it, the nail that kind of hammered it all together, was what we are all going to say in a week, less than a week. Source 8. The Eila Eskara, the part of our avoda that brings everybody to tears, certainly if you understand what you're saying. The Asara Haruge Malchus, the great giants of Torah, the Tanaim, who lived mostly in the time of Rabbi Akiva, but there were others in other generations, who were killed by the Roman slaughterers. And the story in Eila Ezkera goes as follows. There was a Roman emperor, and he was what I think in Yiddish in my house when I was growing up, they would call them a veitzit kaspa, somebody who makes like they're a tzaddik. So he said, you know, I've gone through Torah, and I came to the passage that says, Gonev ishu mecharo mot yumat. Somebody who kidnaps a person and sells him into captivity, that person has to die. That capturer, that kidnapper. So he gathers all the great rabbis and he says, did I read this right? What is the punishment for somebody who sells a Jew into captivity? And all the Tanaim said, Mot Yumat, he has to die. He says, gee, I thought so. Well, he implies, Jewish people suffer so much. Maybe it's because when you sold your brother into captivity, nobody ever died for it. There were 10 brothers who did the selling and nobody ever died. I am going to take care of it. I'm going to kill 10 great people in the Jewish people instead of the brothers, and that's going to take care of it. And the Tanaim were stunned, and they did not know if this is a moment of acceptance or a moment of fight. So they sent the one among them who still had a little bit of nevuah and who was a Kohen, Kohen Gadol. And he went, me'acharei hapargod, or he went behind the curtain. And he said to the malach who hovered there, this is what happened, how should we react? And the malach comes back in tears. And he says, kablu aleichem tzadikim v'yedidim. The message from God is accept this, righteous, cherished people. My friends, Hishamati me'acharei hapargod, says the Malach, because I heard in the heavenly court, ki bezot aten nilpadim, that with this you are captured. Pshat, this is your fate. The usage of the word bezot haunted my father. And he thought, and he said, what is one of the major things of Yom Kippur? What do we say? I know my husband says it all the time. Rabbanim say it all the time. Comes, it's quoted in Sefer Chassidim, Hitmalu rachamim elu aleilu va'anochim itmalei rachamim aleichem. If we want kapara, we have to give kapara. If we want Hashem to overlook things, we have to overlook things. If we want Hashem to love us, we have to love each other. And my father, all of a sudden, he almost shouted. He said, it's Ahavas Chinam. That's what Zot is. Now let's go back to our sources. Okay? Let's go to Bereishis again, to number 4. What is Yosef saying to the brothers in the undercurrent? Bizot tibachenu. With this you will be tested, with the coming of your little brother, what he's really saying, in your midah of ahavas chinam, you are going to be tested. Bivo achicha makatan. You messed up on that midah when it was me. You displayed sinas chinam. I am going to put you in the same position again. Bizot tibachenu. On this midah, you are going to be tested. When your brother comes, we will put you through that test. Let's look at source 6. Hashem says to Moshe to say to Aharon, Bizos yavo Aharon el HaKodesh. With this, Aharon will come into the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Pshat, with the two sacrifices. The bull and the ram, right? The bull and the ram, okay? According to my father's insight, what do we know about Aharon? Ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. What gives him the confidence to walk into Kodesh HaKadoshim and to make that string turn white? Is it that he went to mikvah 1,000 times or however many times? Is it that he's bringing these karbanos? Bizot yavo Aharon al Kodesh. He gets to go in with confidence because that is his life's pursuit. Shalom. We all know the stories we learn in kindergarten. He lied for shalom. He made peace between people. He made people who hated each other love each other. He was the quintessential Ohev Habrios, Ohev Yisrael. Bizos, and for that merit, he comes into Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then finally, Ela Ezkara. What happens? We know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gilu Arayos primarily. Shvichos Damim a little bit, but mostly because of idolatry. We feel much more identified with the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is because of what? Sinas Chinam. And what the Malach was saying, again, according to my father's insight, what the Malach was saying to Rabbi Yishmael was, Kablu aleichem tzadikim v'yedidim. You are tzadikim, and I love you, and you have increased Torah in Klal Yisrael. But what was Rabbi Akiva's problem in his generation? Why did we have the deaths of the Omer? There wasn't that ahavas chinam. Sinas chinam, why we lost it. Bezos atem nilkadim, you're perfect, except that you haven't accomplished this among your people. Now, just again, as masnevim, every time now, I know, I promise you this is going to happen. Every time you come across the word Zos now, you're going to try to see if it fits in. Mostly it will, sometimes it won't. But let's look at some of the ones that are more famous to us. Okay? Now, one of them I think I have here. Source number 5. This is beautiful. Yaakov Avinu gives a bracha to all of his children. At the end of the bracha, it says, Vayivarech, he blesses this one, he blesses that one, he gives each one a specific bracha. At the end, we have a sum up, a very wordy, repetitive pasuk. Kol Eile Shivtei Yisrael Shnei Masar. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Vizot Asher Diber Lahem Avihem. And this is what their father spoke to them. We know this is what their father spoke to them. It just told us what he spoke to them. Vayivarechotam. And he blessed them. Ish Asher Kivir Kato Berachotam. Each man according to his blessing, he blessed them. Some of the Mefarshim point out a diktuk problem. Ish Asher Kivir Chato, each man according to his blessing, should be Berachoto. He blessed him. And some of the Rishonim point out that that was the point. The point was that he gave everybody among his children a specific bracha because that was his modus operandi to keep them together. If one's a doctor, one's a lawyer, one's good at learning Torah, they need each other to form a community. And that's how they'll always stay together. And that's why it's not repetitive when it says, these are the 12 tribes of Israel individually. Vizot asher diber lahem avihem. And the part that's between the lines that you don't see, reader, is he spoke to them mostly about ahavas chinam, about loving each other. And therefore, vayivarecho tam, he blessed them, ish asher kevir kato, every man with his own blessing, beracho tam, which would be a conglomerate bracha for all of them together if each had a separate skill or a separate endeavor in life because they could help each other. Then it really makes sense that generations, many generations later, and the Ramban points this out, the vizot that he gave to them in his bracha at the end of Torah, when Moshe gives a bracha, how does the bracha start? Vizos ha-bracha. Moshe, too, will give individual brachos. But the main part of the bracha, and the reason for individual brachos, is zot. Ahavas chinam. That's what it's all about. Nobody's bracha is going to help anybody if you don't love each other. And therefore, every week, when you say, Vizot HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael, you know where that is? That's in the middle of Arei Miklat. Right? This is the Torah. What is the Torah? You tell me. Hillel and Shammai. Somebody comes and says, teach me Torah on one foot. Shammai says, get out of here. What does Hillel say? Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. If I have to sum up Torah in one pasuk, v'zot ha-Torah, it's going to be ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Ahavas chinam. David HaMelech, what is he telling us? Bizot ani boteach. Speculating. I'm entirely speculating. This was not part of my father's thing. It was when I had to teach Mizmor Chof Zayin, it struck me that he was another bizot. Notice also that the zotes that my father worked with were all not only zot, but bizot. Bizot tibachenu, bizot atem milkadin, bizot yavo aron al hakodesh. And here we have another, bizot ani boteach. Again, on a personal level, what David could have been saying is, I may not be a tzaddik, and I may have messed up on a number of things, but he may have been writing this during the pursuit of Shaul of himself. And there were two instances where Shaul was in his hand and he could have killed him, and in fact, his entire army said, David, God is giving Shaul over into your hand now. And David said, no. That is literally ahavas chinam, undeserved ahava of another Jew. Or, on a more global sense, if he's talking about the war of Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, about that spiritual war that we wage against the Satan, he says, the reason we don't have to fear, the reason we can come to it, if we can, without fear, is if we have zot. If we are over amidosenu, if we can forget, can forgive and forget, if we are mitmalim rachamim elu alelu, we can find it in our hearts to forgive someone else and to muster up some ahavas chinam, bizot ani boteach, then we go into Yom Kippur with a great deal more of confidence. Okay?